You don't have to wait till you're in your car to hear what Cap and J-Hood are talking about. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000. That's why I say amen, I shot. No shot. With Cap and J-Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app. That's why I say amen,
I shot. All right, it's time for a shot. No shot.
Now, I know this is like totally my opinion, but it makes me nervous. This whole situation makes me nervous.
It's like the unknown is coming at
us. I know, and I'm not good on the fly at 8 a.m.
I'm not either. I'm a virgin to this, so I'm a little worried about shot or no shot. What are we looking at here, Shay?
Well, we have to first mention our good friends at Club Hawthorne, the sponsors of Shot or No Shot. Put a little more action into your weekend at one of Hawthorne's 16 newly remodeled betting bars, or bet the races from home or on the go with the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. Now we get into Shot or No Shot. Ooh. I know you don't need to be nervous. I promise.
It's not that difficult.
I'm going to take it easy on you guys. It'll be great.
Okay.
You guys have been wonderful this morning. No, you both have been wonderful this morning. It's been a pleasure working with you on a Friday.
Oh, thanks, Shay. It's a great way
to end my week. I've had a nice vacation from Cap.
Well,
I get to spend today with you two wonderful ladies. It's been fantastic.
Shay, speaking of vacations, Danny Zetterman just texted us and said, if you want to take your honeymoon.
This guy's always trying to get me out of here. It makes me nervous.
If Dion is the one filling in, you can go now.
I know, and I said it the other day, but I feel like one of these days I'm going to walk out of here. He's going to tell me, go take care of something. I'm going to come back. My badge isn't going to work. I can't get in the building anymore. He's always trying to push me out.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, what do we have for shot or no shot?
Well, I want to start with the White Sox because they will pick up where they left off, we hope, as they start the second half tonight hosting Cleveland on the south side. They ended the disappointing first half on a high note. They took 3 of 4 from Minnesota in Minnesota, and they outscored the Twins by 22 runs in that four-game set. The offense finally started to click. We saw Jose Abreu sliding in the dugout, everybody having a great time, kind of dispelling the rumors that the vibes are bad in the clubhouse. So my question for you is this, shot or no shot? The White Sox, with a strong second half, will win the division.
Oh, shot.
Yeah, shot. Yes. They're only 3 games out. Oh, wait, I guess we're supposed to take turns. Go ahead.
Go ahead. You...
No, I'm afraid I'm doing it wrong.
Age before beauty.
I hate you. All right, then that would be me. Getting old, Reed, didn't I? Definitely a shot. Definitely. It's there to their benefit that they're in such a lousy division, and they have a chance here at playing, at underperforming in a first half, and they still have a shot at winning the division. They're only 3 games out. This weekend, I feel like, is huge. Huge. Coming back, setting a tone, I think it's really important.
All the talk at the All-Star game about the White Sox was about their underperforming.
Yeah.
It was about them lack of hitting home runs. It was the bad base running. It was the bad fielding. It was how they were supposed to be an October team, but they're playing in their third place, or in second place now, in the worst division in baseball.
Yeah.
So absolutely shot. They are going to be tired of hearing about this. They're shooting down the rumors of there being problems in the clubhouse.
Right.
Well, show it. Get out there and prove it. Second half team that you are, get the job done. Absolute shot that they can win the division.
Now, what they'll do if they get to the postseason is still up for debate.
Well,
but that's a shot or no shot for later. September.
A lot of people think that the ALCS preview was yesterday with the Yankees Astros doubleheader.
Yeah.
But every time we really start digging in and going, oh, that's a preview of the playoffs, neither of those two teams make it. It's going to end up being White Sox Blue Jays in the ALCS.
Wow.
Just because everybody expects the Yankees Astros.
Right. And that's exactly like, are there any reasons to believe that it is not going to be the preseason favorites in the end?
Well, the Yankees are going to set a record for wins this year. It's really disgusting.
But then how great would that be for them to lose?
I would not be mad. I would not be mad. Okay, go ahead, Shay.
All right, Ryan Poles made some moves to begin his Bears tenure that were met with skepticism. Obviously, Akeem Hicks left, but he wanted to go ring chasing in Tampa Bay. The other two that were really met with kind of worry were letting Eddie Goldman and Bilal Nichols leave. While Eddie Goldman signed with the Falcons, we knew he took the COVID year off, came back, wasn't really what we expected him to be last season, and he has now informed the Falcons of his retirement from football. Meanwhile, the Raiders put Bilal Nichols on the PUP list with a knee injury. So my question is this. Shot or no shot. The results from Goldman and Nichols are proof Ryan Poles is a good decision maker for this rebuild.
shot. We have to take everything that Ryan pulls, every move that he makes, and we have to take it as a full body of work. We can't just look at the guys that he screwed up on, okay? So let's take a look at, right now he's a little bit behind in some of the moves because he's got a couple guys that have been arrested. He signed a guy that couldn't pass the physical. Now he has a couple of guys that everyone's going, uh-huh, we were right about Eddie Goldman mm-hmm. all along. Everything they said, his heart wasn't in it. Bilal Nichols, people thought, oh, this is a guy he should have been building the line around, and now he's on the pup list. So absolute shot. I think you have to give him the benefit of the doubt, but you have to look at his entire body of work when this first season is finished.
See, now that's why I would say, I don't really remember the question, but no shot. I want to say no shot because, not no shot, maybe a half shot, because I feel like it's too soon. It's too soon to say, yeah, did he make the right decision on those two guys? Yeah, clearly. But it's too soon to say that these decisions are right or wrong for the team. I think we have to wait to see exactly how everything plays out. That's why I'm going to go like half a shot.
Okay.
We call this beaking, if I may beak quickly. I look at it and I just think, like, when you look at what happened with Eddie Goldman and Bilal Nichols, if you give the contract to Eddie Goldman and then he retires on you in that, he would be getting blasted this
blasted.
Morning.
You are exactly
week, he would be getting blasted for giving him that deal. Instead, you save $7 million on the cap. You let him walk and he retires on somebody else's book. I think that's the better way to look at it. Is I don't know what the result of his offseason is going to be yet. We have to see that play out on the field.
Yeah.
But if he had signed Eddie Goldman and then Eddie Goldman retires with us, he would be getting blasted on
Absolutely.
Our air.
Absolutely. Totally agree with that.
I here's what I will say. Ryan Poles told us at the beginning when he showed up, I am going to look at this roster and evaluate without any emotional attachment to it. And that is exactly what he's done. Yeah. And so I got to praise him for that.
All right, former White Sox pitcher Dallas Keuchel has found himself without a team again. After four starts in Arizona with an ERA near 10, the Diamondbacks designated Keuchel for assignment. It's his second time being DFA'd this season. We know what happened with him here in May. My question, shot or no shot? We will soon hear that the Diamondbacks have a bad clubhouse.
That is an awesome question. Shot. I'm saying shot. Because it feels like that was, as we've talked about, Peggy, he was the guy that we felt like was saying that things were amiss on the South Side. That's, I say shot. That is such a great question.
Oh, my gosh. And by far, he was brought in as a leader. And even though, you know, Rick Hahn made sure to talk about the contributions that Dallas Keuchel made to this White Sox team, he was not very well loved.
No.
Here was a guy that was not backing up what he was telling everybody else they needed to do last season. And then this year, he just sucked.
Well, think about when he showed up. He spent most of those first times meeting with the media and meeting the fan base defending what went down in Houston.
Yeah.
Like, maybe, what's the common denominator in
Dallas
all this?
Keuchel.
I'm just saying.
That's right. Look out for your clubhouse if you don't want anything to go wrong.
DFA'd twice in the first half.
Yeah. Not surprised.
Wow. Neither am I.
I'm not surprised. Yeah. Was that it for our shot or no,
no
shot?
No, there's two more here.
Oh, there
but
are? Two more?
If you're going to be in Cap's chair, we have to tell you, you're not supposed to say that players suck. He says, Cap always says, if you're a professional athlete,
you don't suck.
Right,
Nick Foles sucks. Let's just be fair and honest
here. That's interesting.
He sucks.
Yeah, right? Well, if I'm going to say that Dallas Keuchel sucked, then I'm going to say, well, you know, turn around 2 minutes later and just say, you know, he was a very good contribution to the White Sox. He provided leadership to them. He did not suck. He was a very valuable pitcher. Take that.
Nick Foles sucks. Let's just be fair and honest here.
That was a really good take that. That was really
I just good. Like the way Cap just, he enunciates everything. Everything.
Yeah.
He does.
He's owning his opinion.
Jesse Rogers. That was Jesse Rogers.
Speaking of which, we'll talk to Jesse today at 8:35. All right, two more of these. Look, you guys are doing great. This has been fantastic. Let's get these out of the way. Kyler Murray yesterday signed a $230.5 million 5-year extension with the Arizona Cardinals. It will make him the second highest paid player in the NFL by annual value. My question is about another quarterback who's very soon going to sign an extension, we expect. Shot or no shot? Kyler Murray's extension sets up Lamar Jackson to get a deal north of $50 million a year.
Well, shot, yes.
Yes.
I mean, all you have to do is wait one day and the value goes up. You know, wait a day to sign. And he could absolutely shot. Absolutely. I thought you were going to go into a different direction. Does it mean that Justin Fields is actually going to have a $50 million contract in 2 years? I mean, think about it. If this is the rate that the pay is going for these quarterbacks, if Justin Fields proves himself this year, which I don't think it's going to be the prove yourself year.
No.
Even though he needs to, because next year they could draft another quarterback in a really good quarterback class. But if he proves himself in, let's say, the next 2 years, Justin Fields could get a $52 million contract a year from the Chicago Bears. So absolutely a shot for Lamar Jackson. We only see it going up.
Well, when it comes to Justin Fields, that's a very big if. I do feel like Lamar Jackson shot for sure, because he can demand that. He that's what the market is. And it's all about one-upping the next guy, right? So yes, shot for sure. That sets up Lamar Jackson to make quadrillions of money. Like that's what it does.
Yeah, there's no more holdouts.
No.
You go, oh, wait. Kyler Murray just signed. Pack my bags. I got to get to camp.
Yeah, right.
I got to get to camp because I'm going to be next.
Yeah, I'm going to be the next.
Oh, totally.
Our industry doesn't work that way.
But could you imagine, can you see the Bears signing a quarterback to make $50 million?
No, I absolutely cannot.
Don't forget Jay Cutler. A lot of people never thought that they would make a move like that when Jay Cutler was considered a big-name quarterback. I don't know what Jay... I forget now what Jay made, but...
That's a Google.
Listen, if they're going to be 2-3 years closer to the stadium in Arlington Heights, they're going to have a ton more revenue.
Yeah.
The NFL makes all of their money on the TV revenue.
Peggy, it's such a big if with Justin Fields yet, though. Like, I can't even entertain that. That's how I feel.
So the question really should be, would the Bears ever have a $50 million a year quarterback?
Based on my decade-long experience covering them, I would say no.
Wow. Well,
Jay Cutler got 7 years, $126 million, good for $18.1 per year, which back then would have been among the elite payments. The thing with Justin Fields is interesting, because if he is any good and you're going to commit to him as a long-term quarterback, the reality is going to be he's going to get paid $300 million. That's just that's the world that you live in the NFL. You have to pay the quarterback because you have to keep them. It's not because they're worth that amount of money. It's you have to keep them. It happened with Matthew Stafford in Detroit. It happened with Jay Cutler here. It has happened so many times. So that's the reality with Fields.
Funny money.
If he's
it
good.
Is.
But it also puts kind of the microscope on, hey, you got to win while he's on the rookie deal because you don't have a ton of time. Now we know, look, Kyler's played 3 years and he hasn't had a ton of success, and he's now the second highest paid player by value in the NFL. So you don't have a ton of time. You got to execute on the rookie deal.
Would he have made that money if he ever signed his baseball contract with Oakland?
No, that's Oakland's entire payroll, Peggy.
I mean, baseball's funny money. Baseball is funny money.
He would never, never.
Even if he left Oakland, if he left the A's and went into free agency somewhere. Yeah, I don't know. See, isn't that crazy?
That is
crazy. Wow. Mama, let your babies grow up to be quarterbacks.
I was just going to say, can we make a switch? Can my son make a switch real quick?
Oh, gosh.
All right, very quickly, we have one more I want to get to, because JR has an issue at home. He has a broken dryer, and he's been telling me about this all week. He has a family of four, this poor guy. His dryer is not working. And he's got to leave his clothes out on a line in the backyard. He said he had a line in his house. They set up a clothesline in his house. He was drying them manually. Or he's got to take four people's worth of clothes to a laundromat and have them all dried, because he wants to wait 4 to 6 weeks to have this part that's on back order brought to his house.
Right. So it's $170 for the labor, $350 for the part that's 4 to 6 weeks out. Or I could go throw a grand on a dryer and have it now.
Shot or no shot? JR just needs to buy a new dryer.
Shot! Buy a dryer, JR.
Shot. No,
you're hanging your clothes like olden days. Come on.
No one wants to see your bloomers hanging from their backyard.
Bloomers.
They look outside and it's, you know, come on. Oh, nobody wants to see them hanging outside. You imagine the neighbors, they're looking in the backyard and it's beautiful, windy, breeze comes by, and all of a sudden they see his bloomers hanging out there.
Bloomers.
I don't know. Are you tighty whitey or are you a boxer guy?
Yeah, full long underwear, top to bottom. Yes.
That feels right, JR.
All right. Take that thought with you as we go to break, right? All right.
Cap. J-Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch the show on Twitch. Follow
follow ESPN 1000 Chicago.
The show is flying by. I'm Dion Miller. She's Peggy Kaczynski. We are in for Cap and Jay Hood this morning on ESPN 1000. We had so much fun with Shot or No Shot. We forgot that we have things to give away.
I know.
And I love giving things away. So caller 10 right now gets a $250 package of Hawthorne items.
I love that. We're talking bucket lists as well.
Yeah.
I want to go to Aurora because Dave has a great bucket list item.
Caller 10.
Yep.
Start calling now.
Yep. Dave, what's on your bucket list?
So, yeah, it was actually only on there for a short time. My girlfriend talked me into it, but we just got back from Spain and Running with the Bull.
Oh, wow. San Fermín Festival.
Yes, it was a lot of fun. It's basically a huge party for 9 days.
Yeah,
but,
9 days.
Every day it started with that bull run, and we did it. We were, I know I was really scared to do it, but I was like, hey, we're only going to do this once, so might as well get it done.
Dave, there's always stories of someone getting killed by a bull at the festival. We watched it. We watched it from, it was such a Spanish experience because I felt like Hemingway's family. You know, we were in like this balcony overlooking the streets. The streets, they're cobblestone, these small little streets.
Yeah.
And you watch, you know, everyone gets in line and you see the stadium where everyone ends up. Dave, the experience is unlike anything else. What was your strategy? Was your strategy to run along the side? Tell me your strategy.
So, yeah, we watched it from a balcony first, and we went to Dead Man's Corner, which is where you think that's the worst place to be.
Yes.
But because the bulls end up on the outside of the corner, we figured if we go to the inside, we can run alongside them and not be in as much danger. But here's the thing that I didn't know is if you actually are fast enough to make it into the bull ring with all the other people, they let loose a young bull and people just try to avoid him. Well, in there, I actually met Josh Norman, the cornerback for the 49ers.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Everyone else tries to avoid the bulls left and right. It came right at him. He jumped clean over it. I was like, yep, that's Josh Norman.
Oh,
wow.
That is crazy.
All right,
yeah, so I went up to him afterwards, and I got a picture with him, and that was great.
Oh, Dave, will you send us that picture on Twitter? Can you send it to us so that we can see it? That is a great story.
I love that story.
Yeah, I'll send that to you.
Can I ask you this question, Dave? Have you ever run faster in your whole life? I would run fast.
No,
I'd be so scared. The adrenaline.
You see them come around the corner, and I mean, you know they're big animals, but you don't realize how fast they are until you see them up close and personal. It's like, oh, there's really a 1,000-pound animal coming at me full speed.
Oh, how
my gosh!
How drunk were you?
Not at all. No,
really.
We made sure the night before we did not drink, and then after we ran, we got drunk.
Oh yeah. Oh yes. Then you would.
All the young people sleeping in the streets. They're out partying all day. They're waiting for the festival. Yes, there's a big parade, the San Fermín parade, and with all those giant heads, you know, like you think of like the Russian dolls, but they're the Spanish doll heads, and so all the different saints from the San Fermín festival, they carry these big ginormous floats.
That
of these.
Is.
It's such a cool experience, Dave. I am so jealous.
Dave,
if I was
very cool.
20 years younger, I think I would have done it, but I had my kids. Yeah, and there was no way.
We said we'd do it now while we were still young enough to. Actually be able to run and, you know, don't have kids yet. So
that's awesome.
Didn't have to worry about that. So.
Oh, good bucket list item. Good bucket list item. I thought of another one, Dion, for me, another bucket list item. I would like to drink one of the most expensive wines in the world.
I would like to come with you.
Okay. So there is, I don't know how to say the Domaine Leroy, is a $41,000 bottle. But I know, Screaming Eagle. Okay.
Okay.
Screaming Eagle. Everyone's like, have you ever had Screaming Eagle? I've never had Screaming Eagle.
Neither have
I. Never even had a sip. It's a $500,000 bottle of wine.
Okay.
The other one though that I would probably like more than Screaming Eagle, because Screaming Eagle just seems like it's so much marketing behind it now. I would like a Chateau Muthon Rothschild. That would be mine.
Okay.
Because that is a $300,000 bottle.
Holy cow. cow, yeah. Peggy. Peggy, are you a red wine or white wine drinker?
I'm a French Bordeaux.
French Bordeaux. Yes.
All right. Both of you, we talked about this very briefly with Hoodie early in the week, but both of you have to hear from Dan Orlovsky a take that he had about wine and Diana Rossini's reaction to it. I think you'll enjoy this.
So what happened was Dan Orlovsky said, basically, I have Diana's reaction to it, not Dan's take, but he said that every glass of red wine should be served chilled or with an ice cube in it.
No.
Every glass of any style of red wine, it should have ice cubes in it, Dan Orlovsky
never
said.
Never ice cubes.
You have to hear Diana Rossini's reaction to this.
Oh, my goodness.
My first thought when I read it was, gosh, that is the exact way I would describe Dan's style of play. Watered down wine with ice cubes in it. And then I thought that was a little too mean.
That's very funny.
I learned in my level one sommelier class that red wine should be chilled 62 to 68 degrees. So it is lightly chilled. Lightly chilled, typically it's room temperature when you serve it then. And then white wines are 55 to 60 degrees, typically like that.
I had a friend who would always put one ice cube in his red wine. One. And I was like, that is weird. I would never do that because you don't want to water it down.
Now, I have put ice cubes in white wine sometimes.
Same.
Sometimes when it's just not chilled
cold enough. It needs to be very cold. Yeah.
But it has to be a really light wine to do that. You don't want a full-bodied Chardonnay and then you totally...
No.
Like a full-bodied Cabernet? Are you kidding
me? No. Don't touch that with anything. Any outside liquids. Bucket list. Yes. Level one sommelier. That's what I want to do. I've always wanted to do that. Also doable.
Well, that was on my bucket list, and I did it during the pandemic.
Of course.
So I got my level one sommelier.
I've drank plenty of wine since the pandemic. I don't know. Does that count? No, I've always wanted. That's something I genuinely would like to do.
Yeah.
To get.
So I don't know. I'm trying to think of other sports. Running with the Bulls is such a good
that
sports bucket
list. I just Googled that because I don't know that much about it. That's a real quick no for me, but I think Dave's experience was phenomenal. So that's all I'm going to say about that. It sounds interesting, but I'm not. Mm-mm. No thanks.
Oh, gosh. My kids, we took them to Spain for their eighth grade graduation, and we took them to the Running of the Bulls.
That's very cool.
And it was really, that is a bucket list item because it is unlike anything you will do.
Here's one thing, a bucket list thing for me. It's not necessarily going to a specific place, but it's experiencing, like, Europe with my kids for the first time. Mm-hmm. I have a friend who said that. He's like, I always wanted my kids to experience those things with me and my wife. So let's take them to New Orleans for the first time. Let that be a family memory before it becomes a memory for them with their friends or with their significant other or whatever happens there. And I was like, that's something that's definitely on my list is I want to share those things with my kids. Yeah. I want them to see Hawaii with me for the first time or whatever, you know.
We did a South African safari for our honeymoon. And
you did?
That's very cool. I want to do that with the kids. So that is still kind of a bucket list for me. Let's go to Buffalo Grove. Mark has an idea about us talking about our wine. Hi, Mark.
Hey, Mark.
Morning, ladies. Yes, so I've actually done a few of these bucket list items before, specifically in the wine sector. So I work for a luxury importer, many of the most expensive wines in the world, and it's best to drink them on someone else's dime, I would say.
Yeah, Mark, we totally agree.
Get the opportunity.
Thank you for inviting me, Mark. Thank you.
No, of course. I would put Domaine de la Roma di Conti on that short list as well, or DRC, as it is often mentioned. But I've also done the biking through Tuscany, or the it's incredible. It's not, you can't overrate the experience. Do it. It's awesome. And obviously drink a lot of good wine and eat a lot of good food at the same time. And the Running of the Bulls, I've done that as well. That is super awesome. The party, again, can't be overstated. People in Spain, they write the book on how to party in like a very safe yet fun, jubilant manner. It's incredible.
Awesome.
Definitely make your way over there as well. Mm. My bucket list item that is sports related that I have not done yet, obviously, is to play golf in Scotland, the home of the sport. St. Andrews would be incredible. I definitely went for that on there, as I've knocked out a lot of my food and wine ones. It's great to have you both on the radio today. I appreciate the perspective.
Mark, I have a question, though.
Oh,
Mark.
Yeah.
So doing my wine drinking on someone else's dime. So I had friends who went on a wine cruise recently to Bordeaux, and there was a gentleman on the cruise who owned a winery and brought all these very high-end wines and was sharing them with everybody. Montrachet's, I mean, from Boone. They said it was incredible. So how do I find?
Yeah, same. How do we find?
How do we find those people? Like, where are those tastings? I know Chicago Wine Company used to have these Bordeaux dinners with the most incredible Bordeaux wines.
Really?
Yeah, you drink like 13 different wines.
They're a great company. I do a lot of business with them. They're good people. When you get into like the rarefied air of some of these like, you know, small high-end Burgundy producers, it's really about just knowing people who have a lot of money and who are very generous. Because having wines of that, I mean, that are worth $10,000-$20,000 a bottle, you want to share it with people, right? And
there's
a small group of people that can afford that.
Right.
There's no like one way to do it. I think the fact that you are as enthusiastic as you are about seeking these out, just continue to like go to fine wine shops and then talk to people and maybe find your way into the social circles of those that have a lot of expensive wine that are generous.
I love it, Mark.
You're a gem. Thanks for calling in.
I
kind of want to hang out with Mark.
What are we trying tonight, Mark? What are we opening? Instead, we have to hang out with Jesse Rogers.
Do we have to?
No, I'm just kidding. Jesse, coming out of the All-Star break, this is going to be gold.
That's right. Jesse Rogers coming up next. Take that.
Don't miss the conversation.
Cap and J-Hood.
Tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
Cap and Hoodie. Bop, bop,
bop, bop. And listen to Cap and J-Hood at home and in the office.
Now, back to more Cap and J-Hood on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
White Sox are back in action tonight, hosting the Guardians 7-10. Len Casper and Jason Benetti. Listen to the all-star lineup of announcers that we have on ESPN 1000 this weekend.
Okay, go.
After tonight's game with Len and Jason, it is Saturday, Len and Connor McKnight for game one of the doubleheader. Game two, Connor and Steve Stone.
Connor overachieving.
Wow. Stoney on our air. How about that?
That's pretty awesome.
Oh, I love it. That's a great weekend. Big weekend for the Sox. Big second half for the Cubs as well. Let's bring in Jesse Rogers, who is fresh out of the hot tub at Cap's place. Does Cap really wear a bathing cap when he is up at the what do we call the residence up north?
Well, look, first
the chateau?
Of all, what normally happens in Oshkosh State, but it's just us three ladies, so I don't mind a little gossip with you. There was a lot of sunscreen, suntan lotion rubbing going on, but that was mostly between Chuck and Cap. I brought my wife, so I have cover. Those two did not bring their wives, so I can't attest to what went on there, but... It was a very fine time, and Cap is a fine host.
Of course,
and that's
he is.
Wait a second.
Isn't it typically either a couple's weekend or it's a guy's weekend?
Yeah, we were caught a little bit in between. That's a good point.
I'm like, hang on a second, Jesse. You didn't break the guy code and bring your wife to the guy's weekend, did you?
I may have, but I didn't have a choice. And Dion and you both can respect this. After 10 years of covering every All-Star game, I finally had one off.
Yeah.
And so my wife was thinking big summer vacation. I gave her 24 hours in Oshkosh.
Look at you.
So from Monday to Tuesday, she had a glorious time, and that was basically my all-star break.
Husband of the summer.
And big spender. Wow.
I mean, yeah.
Big spender.
Speaking of spending,
Good transition.
I know. Almost like we do this professionally.
Jesse, how soon before the Cubs make their first move? Wasn't it the day after the All-Star break last year when
Yeah. I mean, I can't tell you exactly, but we're in the zone already. We are. Now, the draft is later than ever, so you got to give everybody a moment to breathe here after the draft, because it's usually in June. Now it's, you know, around the All-Star break, so it's hard to sort of walk and chew gum at the same time when it comes to that. But quickly, they're already picking that up, and I think it's going to be sooner rather than later for several reasons. they have a bunch of pitchers teams would want, and there's no reason the Cubs need to hold on to just fill in the blank, Michael Givens, even David Robertson. So there are times where you jump the market. Sometimes you don't. I mean, you know, maybe they want to wait it out a little bit longer on Wilson Contreras to get some leverage, get some teams bidding. You can never really tell when something's going to happen. A lot of times it's the other team, right? The Cubs are in no desperation to move quickly or slowly. They just need the best deal. Another team might see an injury coming out of the All-Star break and want to move quickly. So I can't predict. Every trade season is different. But I would say sooner rather than later, simply because they have such inventory that it's simply not needed on this team.
Right.
That's the bottom line. So soon. I think soon.
Do you anticipate Kyle Hendricks also being in that mix?
I doubt it. I mean, he's been injured. Yeah. You really have to prove yourself over several starts when you come back from injury. There's just not enough time for that. I have my doubts about any of those starters, even though Smiley and Stroman have been back. If I'm another team giving up prospects, making a deal for these guys, I kind of want to see more than a couple starts. Although Stroman has looked good, but it's been like a four-inning stint here, a four-and-a-half-inning stint there. It might be enough. I mean, it depends what your role is. If this is my key pickup and he's leading us to the playoffs, I don't know if I've seen enough out of Stroman. If I need five starts out of him down the stretch as a fourth guy, okay, maybe I have seen enough. So I have my doubts about any of them because they haven't proven much. But at least the guys that are pitching have a chance to be moved. I don't think Kyle Hendricks is one of them.
On the other side of town, Jesse, many people were expecting the White Sox to just make any minor moves, if anything. But when all of a sudden Juan Soto is available, do you think they may be rethinking packaging a deal to bring in Juan Soto and get younger and get more power?
I wouldn't doubt they'll have a phone call with Mike Rizzo and the Nats. I doubt they'll get it done. I just, you know, there's so many other teams that are going to be a lot more creative that would probably talk about signing him to an extension and would not mind even if they didn't. I don't see anything about an extension in the Sox with Juan Soto. So let's start with that. It's a 2.5-year rental, which is fine. It could happen. I do think he's going to end up going to a contender for that very reason. For example, if the Cubs traded for him, how are they different than the Nats? They'd have a depleted farm system and one great player. So I don't think a rebuilding team should be doing it unless you're going to sign him right away, which is not going to happen. He's more than likely going to go to contender that doesn't mind using him as a 2.5-year rental, and the Sox definitely sort of fit in that category. I just don't see it happening for a lot of different reasons. It would be pretty much, I think, a surprise around the league if he ended up on the White Sox. So I don't see that happening, even though I do see several phone calls going that way. We do have to remember one thing, though, and I know all of us want to, criticize the Sox a lot of times. But at the very least, last year at this time, Rick Hahn and Kenny Williams went into a room and said, who is the best player that we kind of need on the market?
Yeah.
You know, we need a reliever. Let's go get the best one. And they did that. Now, from my perspective, they need a left-handed bat. They could go get the best one in Juan Soto. But, I just don't know if it's all going to line up when you consider the Yankees are there, the Dodgers are there. Are they really going to beat out all those teams that could offer more for Juan Soto? I don't think so.
Interesting little side note, and I don't know if Mike Rizzo grew up on the Northwest side here in Chicago. Mm-hmm. His dad was a longtime scout for the White Sox. I don't know if the Sox have ever made a deal with the Nats since Mike Rizzo's been there. I don't know.
I don't know either.
I have to think about it. And the thing is, the Sox farm system is not highly ranked. Now, that's external rankings, and maybe internally it's different. But you pretty much got to start with 2 to 3 of your top prospects, not necessarily maybe 1, 2, and 3, but maybe 1, 3, and 5, you know? Yeah. And the Sox top prospect is ranked like 94th according to MLB.com. So there's a lot of reasons why it probably would not happen, let alone, again, the Yankees and Dodgers seem to be teams that get what they want when they really want it.
Yeah, no kidding about that. Okay, so the real question, Jesse, is are you up to date on your Apple TV subscription for this evening?
I am. I'm actually going to go to the Sox, so I'll be there. But I always watch the other game as well. And the other game's on, the Cubs are on Apple as well, right?
Yes.
So, yes. I'm up to date on my Apple subscription, mostly for, is it Severance that's on there? I know my wife likes one of those shows. So that's why we have
the
our
morning
Apple
show.
Plus.
The morning show.
Yeah, the morning show. She morning loves show. The morning
so
show.
Great.
Yeah, so for sure. So, yeah, I mean, crazy. Both games are on Apple tonight. I have mixed feelings on why this is all happening on Apple, on Peacock, and all these things. Obviously, there's a strategy behind it to bring in streamers only or what. Here's my problem, though. It's just that it's such a localized sport. If you're not in Chicago, if you're not in, you know, in Cleveland, who are you bringing in, really?
Right.
And the announcers are so, they had been so removed from either team that you don't feel, I was never bothered by the announcers, the fresh voices, but when it started to bother me is when you wanted to hear stories and you wanted to hear some more. It was obvious that they don't have any get-to-know-you stories about anyone.
Any insight or any connection. Yeah, totally.
And just as a side note, thinking about this broadcast tonight, both games, it's not like they had 3 days leading up to it to be in town and talk to play. You know what I mean? It's like the first day after the All-Star break. Boom, get in the booth and talk about the Sox, talk about the Cubs, talk about Philly and Cleveland. So, yeah, it's a little weird. It's a little weird for sure. But, I have Apple TV, so I'm not going to complain, but I'm sure a lot of people don't. And they deserve complaining, you know? I mean, I get it. You know, you figured NBC Sports Chicago and ESPN for Sunday night was enough to watch games. Now you need two other streaming networks. Mm-hmm. I get it.
Well, I'm not going to tell you what to do, but Len Casper and Jason Benetti will be having the call here on ESPN Chicago tonight. So you might just
there you go.
Turn down your TV and turn up your radio.
That's right.
It all gets started tonight. The White Sox got to improve on their home record, 19-25 for the first half of the season. They have 37 home games of the 70 remaining, so it's time to start tonight. Jesse, brought to you by Design First Builders. Your chance at Sox tickets are coming up next. Jesse, thank you so much for joining
us. Thanks, Jesse.
Great listen. Have a good day, guys.
You too.
Take care.
All right, we got White Sox tickets coming up next, and more talk, maybe bucket list. We have NFL, Bears. Yeah. We have to talk Bears. Why don't we do that as well?
Oh, I'm here. I'll do it.
All right, it's Peggy and Dion on Cap and Jay Hood, ESPN 1000.
Cap, Jay Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap Jay Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
White Sox, White Sox, go, go, White Sox.
Let's go.
Hear this song enough, Peggy. Let's just frankly, I love this song. Yeah,
I always sing it when I go to the park, Guaranteed Rate Field, and my daughter thinks it's hysterical. She just thinks it just makes you want to do.
Cubs have one of those songs too. So, you at home know what that means. So, listen to the music and make it happen. Okay, keys to the series right now, guys. Yes. Okay, go. Keys to the series brought to you by Lenny File of Hearthside Realtors. I'm going to do keys to the series.
Okay.
Because we have a series. No, I can't. Jay Hood is the master at this. I am just filling in, which means I jotted down a few notes and here we go. That's just being real. Keys to the series, starting pitching. Peggy, it has to start with starting pitching and it needs to start with Giolito tonight. Very inconsistent through like late June into early July. How many starts in a row was it? Five that he struggled so much, seemed to get back into form his last couple times out. He needs to really set the tone tonight. And then from him, we go into my boy, Johnny Cueto. You know how much I love Johnny Cueto. He has had an incredible first half. And then Lance Lynn. And then, of course, Sunday's pitching matchup is, in my opinion, must-see baseball, Dylan Cease and Shane Bieber. So this is an opportunity for the White Sox to really make a move in the division. They're so close to Cleveland, they can overtake the Guardians this weekend in these four games. It needs to start on the mound. They have to also build off of what they did at the end of, right before the All-Star break, winning 7 of 10 and the way that they won those games and kind of finding some sort of rhythm with it. I felt like they were scoring the runs and they were backing their pitchers. And I felt like that was a good way to finish the first half. That needs to continue. That has to be what happens this weekend.
I totally agree with you. The starting pitching is huge and the consistent hitting and putting runs up on the board. Like you said, it just can't be one and done. And then they take a game off and then they come back. So we'll see. John and Mount Greenwood, congratulations. You won the Sox tickets. So congratulations to you. Have fun when you go to the game as well.
Hey, and the other question I had about the White Sox, or concern, I guess.
The free ticket Friday is brought to you by Miller Lite. See the Sox take on Oakland July 29th. Congratulations, John and Mount Greenwood. Go.
I'm sorry. I didn't. Go, I forgot Dion. That we had all this information. There's See, all these things.
You know
we,
what the difference is?
That we don't do this on Saturday.
We don't have sponsors.
You're right. I'm
yeah,
not
you're filling
used
it
to
on
it.
Friday. It's our busiest day for sponsors.
What, I don't
it's
know
so
what
much
to
extra
do.
Work for you both.
On Saturdays, it's just like, sponsors.
Not yet, anyway. Anyone? I would like Mark from Buffalo Grove to call back. He could be our sponsor.
I know. Fine wine.
With Peggy and Dion. Oh, I love it. We could do a segment each Saturday called What Are You Drinking?
Right? Did you see?
Anyway, I wanted to say. Yeah. What did I want to say?
See, this is typical us. We Rats. Start one thing, we go off into another direction. You were talking about the Sox and the Guardians. Was that what we were talking about?
I was. We were talking about them not, I guess, Luis Robert and his lightheadedness. What's going on there?
Okay, so this is, when people are criticizing the White Sox for keeping him with the team before the All-Star break, even though he was undergoing lightheadedness and, he should have flown home to get tested right away. Coming from a person who has had vertigo for 20 years.
That's awful.
You do not always want to get on a plane when you are lightheaded or dizzy. You don't know. I don't know what his blood pressure was.
No.
I don't know if it was, heart-related or was it diet-related or was it vertigo?
Well, it sounds like he doesn't know what it's related to.
So let's just give the medical staff the room that they need. They know what they're doing to treat him the right way.
Yeah.
But for me, as soon as I heard lightheadedness and dizziness, I was like, oh, gosh, please don't tell me he's got vertigo.
Right.
Because sometimes, I believe it's like 5% of people who get vertigo, it stays with
you.
It's
chronic, yeah.
I'm one of those people. Every time I do sit-ups, every time I roll over in bed.
Oh, my gosh,
yes, I have positional vertigo. So you just end up learning to live with it. But,
yeah. They need him healthy and in the lineup. Like they need that.
Yeah.
And I was thinking, they may not make any big move at the trade deadline time here, but why not trade that injury list for a healthy roster? That can be their move here over the next 10 days.
Well, they need Luis Robert, Eloy Jimenez, and Grandal to be healthy and to bring their bats with them to the ballpark.
We need Grandal to be really making a difference, please.
And he could be activated, right?
Yes.
So we don't know. He wasn't activated today, but he could be activated for this series. I believe that's what they were talking about. Everyone knows we've been beating this, like a dead mule. This is just, it's the same issue for the last 2 months.
Oh, yeah.
Consistent pitching, consistent hitting.
Get healthy.
Get healthy.
That's seriously. That's like their tagline, yeah.
Yes, this is the worst division in baseball. Own it. Go.
Yeah, go.
Run away with it.
With some urgency. And I think they do understand just where they stand the next 2 to 3 months, just how big of a deal it is to get off on the right foot this weekend. I mean, we made such a big deal about 19 in a row against the division or whatever. Yeah, do something about it. Do something with that. Don't just say, we'll get there and we're getting there and we believe in the guys we have here. No, don't give me that cliche crap. Take that.
You're going to have a lot of cliches this week when the Bears report to training camp. So let's talk Bears football. There is so much to talk about. A little breakfast with the Bears yesterday. I was there for that. And I have a question for our Bears fans out there when it comes to reading lists. And it has to do with the Chicago Bears. We'll get to all of that when we come back.